Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Thursday, March 18th, the night before the first round games of March Madness. So the first four games are sort of wrapping up. And I don't want to speak for you guys, but I didn't really envision recording a podcast tonight. But with all the COVID news going on, first four games wrapping up, and all the positive feedback we got from our bracket breakdown episode, we just kind of thought, hey, why not? So we are here with some news. But before we get into that, once again, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Made in March Podcast. Underscores between every word, and make sure to give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed our bracket breakdown. We spent a lot of time into that, and we appreciate all the 5-star reviews that are submitted. So just as an example, Wesley, you want to read one aloud that someone submitted in the past week?
Yeah, a recent review from Trevor Paul saying, this podcast is insane. The amount of knowledge on every single tournament team held by all of them is crazy. Not overbearing with pure stats, and have great chemistry and perfect balance of joking around too. Great podcast. And we really appreciate these reviews and all the 5-star reviews we've gotten on Apple Podcasts and all the other apps as well.
Yeah, that's not us like trying to toot our own horn per se. It's more really shouting out the people who do submit those reviews. So if you submit a review and you want to throw in like your Venmo or something, like by all means, we'll read it out loud and we'll shout it out on the podcast.
You could get some free money.
Get some free money. You know, maybe there are some generous listeners out there. But without further ado, there's been some COVID news, some very unfortunate news that I don't think any of us were looking forward to getting, but we knew was probably inevitable with the pandemic. Alex, do you want to kind of get into that?
Yeah, so the first big news we had was Oklahoma guard Davion Harmon, who's arguably their second or third best player. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes. Definitely.
He's going to miss the first two round games for Oklahoma. So obviously that's a huge loss in an 8-9 matchup where I think we all predict it's going to be a pretty close game.
Mm-hmm. Did he, well, I think before that, I think we all had Oklahoma pretty comfortably.
Yes.
But did
did
he officially test positive or was it contact?
Yes, he tested positive.
He did, okay.
That's why he's out for those two.
So he's 100% out for the first two rounds.
Correct. He is.
That's a big hit to Oklahoma because their guards have not been stepping up recently. Except for him, I would say. He would get kind of hot from three every now and then.
Still inconsistent, though.
Inconsistent, sure. But when Austin Reeves had a down game, I felt like Davion Harmon kind of would step up to the plate.
Yeah, but that's going to be a huge loss for them. They're kind of a guard-driven team. Brady Manek has on and off games. And when he was hot during the middle of the season, I mean, they were incredible. But he's kind of taken more of a backseat just this whole year in general, which is kind of crazy because he's a senior, should be a leader of this team too, but he's taken a backseat. Guard-driven team, so this is the big hit for Oklahoma, I'd say. And I don't know if it's not affecting my pick, personally.
I'm rolling with Oklahoma as well.
I'm rolling with Oklahoma.
I can't bring myself to pick Missouri.
And that's the reason that I'm sticking
because
with
Missouri is just, they've proven to be fraudulent too many times throughout the year.
Exactly.
Losing to subpar SEC teams. Mm-hmm. But I will say, before this, it was a locked and loaded Oklahoma, I can't even see how anyone would pick Mizzou sort of game.
Correct.
Now it's more of a pick 'em sort of. I still lean Oklahoma.
Same. I do as well.
I will say, if Oklahoma wants to win, which I presume they do, Brady Manek and Austin Reeves are both going to have very good games.
Yeah, and they're going to have to get some three-point presence, I guess, from Umaja Gibson, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're going to need
him. They're going to need some. He's been, he's a three-point shooter, but he's been shooting extremely poor as of recent from three, and they're going to need him to step up as well. So hopefully they get some production out of him, and they'll win this game against Missouri, hopefully.
All right, and then another big player who is going to be missing a game, another 8-9 matchup, is Moses Wright of Georgia Tech. They play Loyola in the Midwest region in the first round. He's out for sure.
ACC player of the year.
ACC player of the year, almost averaged a double-double.
Yes.
Like
I'm actually surprised he didn't average a double-double. I feel like every game I watch him, he's getting 15 and 15.
Yeah, I think he had like 9 boards, so just shy. But yeah, Davion Harmon's a big loss. I think this is an even bigger loss for Georgia Tech.
This is the biggest loss of the tournament for any team so far. Like,
yeah, granted, there's really only been about 2 or 3 losses.
I mean, you could say Kansas, too.
Yeah, but that was kind of before, I would argue. But like within this week,
yes,
this is easily the biggest loss.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
You said it, ACC player of the year. Mm-hmm. He'll go and he'll get you 10, 15 boards. He'll dominate down low.
Mm-hmm.
And now Georgia Tech has to, basically rely on Jose Alvarado to do everything out there, which with his height and the way he plays, he can do just about everything, but he can't go into the paint and get you rebounds like that.
Do they have a player that can match up against Cameron Krutwig now?
That's the big thing because
I don't think so.
Going into this matchup, I was very borderline. I was unsure who I was going to pick, but for me it came down to I think Moses Wright's a better player than Cameron Krutwig down low, and with him out, I've switched my pick. I'm rolling with Loyola after this. I think this is too big of a loss.
Welcome aboard.
You know what?
Can I say?
I am very reluctant to do this. I kind of pondered it all day, but I'm switching to the fat guys. I'm going with Loyola Chicago.
Let's go.
I loved Georgia Tech. I loved the way they ended the year. But you can't take away the ACC Player of the Year from the team and expect them to be the same exact team. And Loyola, they are a very good 8 seed. We said we thought they were almost underseeded. I thought they were going to be maybe 6-7. They don't turn the ball over. Krutwig down low, extremely skilled. I'm switching my pick, albeit reluctantly, to the Loyola Ramblers. I hate to do it. I still love Josh Pastner, Jose Alvarado, but I have to switch.
It's still going to be a great game. Like, I can still see Georgia Tech winning this game on the back of Jose Alvarado, if I'm being completely honest.
He'd have to have, like, 7-8 steals, basically.
I think this is not as big of a hit to the bracket as it is to, like, the viewers in our eyes, I would say.
I agree.
Because this game was going to be the best 8-9 matchup, I think, by far.
Oh, I had this game circled as one that I wanted to watch from, like, I wanted to have that one on the big screen, you know?
Yeah. This was going to be a phenomenal game. It's still going to be a phenomenal game, but obviously, Georgia Tech taking a monster hit, so
yeah, gotta feel for them.
Yeah, unfortunate, because this team, I think, went to quadruple overtime with some terrible team to begin the season, and here they are winning have the ACC Player of the Year,
ACC Defensive Player of the Year as well.
And they got totally underseeded at 9. They should have been way higher, but you know, you can't do anything about that. You know, they made the tournament, and
These are the things you hate to see, but yeah. I don't think that any of us think that this is going to be the last time that happens. Now,
exactly.
Granted, the players are kind of in like a little bit of a bubble, you would like to hope that stuff like this
calms down,
not happen as often.
Yeah.
But chances are something like this is going to happen again, and you really hope it doesn't affect outcomes of games.
I agree.
I think those two not suspensions. What am I looking for?
COVID.
Yeah.
Testing positives.
I think those are going to affect the games, and you know,
you
really hate to see it.
I just hope it doesn't happen to any like team, I guess, that's really relying on one player, because there's obviously a lot of teams that
like a UConn. Like if James Bouknight got it,
it would be tough for them to win a game in general against Maryland.
I think Maryland would win right away if that happened.
Yeah, that would just really be unfortunate, and obviously unfortunate to people that picked them too. But it's just a lose all around in that scenario.
Yeah.
So. COVID just kind of making things tough for everybody this year.
But anyways, getting on to a little bit of a more positive note. Today, technically, was the start of March Madness. Kind of a Mickey Mouse start. The first four is not really the start of March Madness as far as I'm concerned. But it's still fun to watch. Still fun to get the juices
flowing.
There are
some games that matter.
Some games.
Oh,
Alex,
some
do you want to get into the recap of some of the first four games today?
Yeah, so the first game we had today was Texas Southern taking on Mount St. Mary's.
Battle 16 of the 16 seeds.
Yeah, play-in 16.
And Texas Southern got the win by 8 points. They'll go on to play Michigan. I like Michigan.
Nothing to see.
I agree.
Nothing to really change there. And then a really good game between two 11 seeds, Drake and Wichita State. I will say I was not really impressed with either of these teams.
They both played.
But Drake battled back and got the win.
I mean, shout out to Drake for battling back. It's tough to get down yourself after you score 20 points and a half in the NCAA tournament play-in game. So, I mean, props to them.
And then,
this was some terrible basketball.
Oh, it was awful basketball. But on top of them only scoring 20 points at half, Wichita State started out the second half, I believe, on an 11-0 run. Or at least something like that. Wichita State was up double digits on them in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Credit to Drake. I mean, they did not give up, which is a very nice quality to have in a team. But I also think a nice quality to have in a team is being able to score a lot of points, which Drake did not prove in that game.
They won with 53. So, I mean, you could credit that to their defense, but I would say that both teams just shot the ball atrociously. And it was just sloppy basketball all around.
Yeah, for sure. But this is a matchup where I thought, personally, Wichita State would win. And I had Wichita State beating USC in the round of 64. After watching these two teams play, I wasn't big on Drake going in. Still not big on Drake after their sketchy win over Wichita State. I'm switching my pick to USC.
I'm right there with you, Alex. I mean, unlike you, I actually kind of did like Drake. I also liked Wichita State. I thought both these teams, while maybe not incredible, were good enough to beat USC, who was like 65% from the line. That is a big red flag to me when I'm picking my bracket.
Correct.
But after watching that game, sure, Drake won. They fought back. But they did not look very good out there.
Mm-hmm.
Nor did Wichita State, obviously.
Yep.
I'm switching my pick, too. I'm switching to USC. I don't feel great about it. I'm picking a team from the Pac-12. But when I watched those teams, I said to myself, I don't see how either of those teams wins a game in the round of 64.
Correct. And I'm also switching my pick to USC as well. I was kind of reluctant to do it, I guess, but I was the same as Charlie going into this. I was, whatever team won this playing game, I was going to pick to beat USC. Now, that was contingent on the team playing well in
and
the playing game.
And not looking like absolute buns out there.
They looked like scrubs. I mean, there's just no way to put it. Like, these two teams looked like they should not be in the tournament based off how they played in that game. And that's just really frightening, especially because they're going to be playing in 2 days against a UFC team that is quite athletic with Evan Mobley, who is an Olympian, and just a very good UFC team. Although they're not good free throw shooters, I think they just have a clear advantage, especially because both these teams played bad. It did not look good. Didn't look like they really had any chemistry. Both shooting under 40%. That's not going to win you many games in March.
Yeah, so. I mean, just a note, Luker unfortunately had to go back to college in Iowa. He is still picking Drake in this game.
He's sticking with his Bulldogs.
He's sticking with his Bulldogs.
He liked the fight that he saw in them. Yes. So, you know what? Sticking to his guns. I like it.
Drake's going to need to score at least 15 to 20 more points if they want to beat USC, though. There's no chance they can score under 60. Not a chance.
Yep, and then the other 16-seed playing game, App State versus Norfolk State. Honestly, pretty good game. I enjoyed watching it.
It was kind of a Drake, kind of a repeat game is what we just saw in the game before. So.
Yeah, there were some nice runs. I mean, App State scored 20 points in the first half. And
shooting
a player
what?
On
0 of 16
all of 18 from 18. 3.
0 of 18 from 3? That
App
is
State
like every
scored,
possession shooting to 3.
Scored 20 and a half, and one player on Norfolk State had 20 and a half. But then App State ended up taking a lead, only to fall a point short.
Yeah.
Tough scene.
Very tough. I mean, Jalen Hawkins of Norfolk State was absolute butter in the first half. He could not miss.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he finished 8 of 13 from the field. I don't know why he's not taking more shots. That's just absolutely crazy to me, especially because their team shot 34% and he was 8 of 13. That just seems kind of bananas. Yeah. But you know what? They're two 16 seeds.
Yeah, in the end, though, nobody really gives a rip about 16 seeds
Correct.
Playing games. It's kind of fun to see the players care about it, I guess.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
As a viewer, I am not too invested unless I got money on the line.
Yep. Yeah. So Norfolk State's going to be playing Gonzaga.
Say
Zags less. By 40.
Zags by 40. It's going to happen. And then there's just no way around it. Just buy in. Buy into the Zags and 40. I think whatever the line's probably going to be, 25? Please pick them to cover.
Yeah.
Please pick them to cover.
And then the last game of the night is currently at halftime. Second half is about to start. Michigan State has an 11-point lead. There's some tension between the Michigan players and coaches.
For the whole first half.
A few arguments between Izzo and Gabe Brown and then Langford and Rocket Watts.
Yeah.
But Michigan State's playing all right basketball. Aaron Henry's playing well, as is Rocket Watts.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be affecting them on the court too much.
And you would hope that continues because that kind of stuff can start to seep onto the court and
it can,
and really affect the players. And
I really kind of did like what I see out of Rocket Watts. He looks a little more confident out of there. He even hit a three in the first half.
Yeah, he's 3-7 from the field, 7 points, but
they just
I like
only
to
have
see him
time.
Being confident.
Being a little more confident out there could be the key to Michigan State.
Also, Aaron Henry is playing quite incredible with 8 points and 5 assists currently.
Yeah.
So
Tito gets it done out there.
Yeah. UCLA. I would like BYU still to beat UCLA if UCLA squeaks this game out somehow.
But I see no world in which UCLA ends up beating Michigan State.
Yeah,
I mean, that could come back to bite me, but just no way.
Yeah, and I like how this Michigan State team is playing right now, so I would take them to beat BYU, just like I said earlier. I think Charlie did as well earlier.
Yeah,
and Luke, I believe, as well with Michigan State over you.
Alex,
BYU.
You still have BYU in your Final Four, even with Michigan State looking pretty good tonight?
Oh, I'm still rolling with BYU.
Still
Final
rolling
Four,
with those Mormons.
All the way.
All right.
So, yeah, and that basically wraps up the first four games. So, we obviously recorded a bracket breakdown a few days ago. So, talk about some changes we made to our brackets, because I know I made a couple.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the eraser marks from here. But that was on Selection Sunday about an hour or so after the selection show. So, it was more of like a first take sort of thing. I think we've all made some changes. I can start it off. One change I made, and I thought about this one for a while, was in the West region, 7-seeded Oregon versus 10-seeded VCU. I initially had a 10-seeded VCU. I really like the way that VCU plays defense. I kind of like how they can do that half-court press. But then I kind of started looking a little bit deeper into Oregon. I said, you know what, I got to give the Pac-12 at least half a chance. I can't just, when I see a Pac-12 team, just immediately say no.
Because that was and the initial thought process.
That was the initial thought process. I'm not going to lie. And I started looking how Oregon, as of late, has been getting hot. They've been getting a lot healthier. Yeah. Will Richardson's finally getting healthy and contributing in a big way for Oregon. I think Oregon is just overall a better shooting team, and I think they win that game with their offense.
Yeah,
despite VCU's
like
good
well.
Defense.
Yep, that's the same reason.
You guys both initially had that correct.
I had Oregon, and I do have them winning two games. I have them upsetting Iowa in the second round.
Okay.
Very bold pick. I think they do match up well with Iowa. I don't believe they have any big guys that are talented enough to even semi-contain guards. I don't know
if they match up that well with Iowa, if I'm being honest. But
on the guards and the running gun point of view, I guess you could say.
I have a little stat for you. Iowa, I don't know their exact record, but when they're held to shooting under 35% from three, they, I don't know the exact record. I want to say 1-4, maybe.
Really, that seems bad, like it's too small of a sample size, if you ask me.
Maybe, but is Oregon really that good of a defensive
team? Yes, they're holding teams to 33% from three this year.
Interesting, okay.
So I like Oregon to beat Iowa in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bold pick, obviously. It's a 7-2, but...
But yeah, that was one change I made. Alex, any other changes you've made?
I'm rolling with the Badgers over North Carolina.
Welcome to the club.
I'm taking my school's team. I think Wisconsin's going to be able to shut down all of UNC's guards. I mean, Brooks can get his, but I don't think the guards are going to do anything for UNC. I like Wisconsin.
And you got to have a little bit of hometown bias, obviously, too. Yeah. It's really tough when
you can't bet against the Badgers when you're living in Madison. That's just not how it works.
Well,
if it was a terrible matchup, then it would obviously be warranted. But it's not that bad of a matchup, and it would be really tough to have to cheer against your team for your bracket to succeed. That would be tough. And then just some the only teams I really changed, I have Ohio State in my final game, and then obviously the USC pick that we all switched based off of the terrible 11 seed playing game.
Other than that, I haven't changed anything. Really, I think I'm pretty set. Yeah. You know, I still got Rutgers in my Elite Eight. That's called having balls, ladies and gentlemen. But Alex, you make any other changes?
Did I have Colorado or Georgetown to start?
Oh, you had...
I think I went back and forth.
You had Colorado. You had Colorado.
I think you had
Colorado.
Okay.
Wait. No, you definitely had Colorado. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. I promise.
He has Colorado officially now.
Now, yep, just stamping it, Colorado.
Those are the only changes I made.
All right, so we are... I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. Are you guys?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Just going to be anticipating that first tip at, what is it, 11:15?
Virginia Tech, Florida.
So,
hey, one right of now, our brackets is going to be busted.
Two out of the four of us, we have a split here. 2-2 split on Florida, Virginia Tech. So kind of unfortunate that half the brackets of ours will be busted by about 1-something. So kind of unfortunate.
One thing I know for sure is that I will not be attending class tomorrow. I will be watching the games all day.
Bang.
You guys as well?
I will as well.
Should be a fun time. Once again, make sure to leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy this podcast. And until next time, this is Made in March.